Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest, not one, but two very special guests to the show. Today I have with me Charlie Hartwell and Maureen Pelton. They are both successful entrepreneurs, and today I want to bring them on so that they can talk about how to break free and shift into embodied living. And just that intrinsic and being ignited internally. And so with no further ado, Charlie, Maureen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on the podcast.
It is my pleasure. Please go ahead, tell us a little bit about your journey so far, your story.
Okay, well, so I'll start with me. I am a social scientist who started in the corporate world doing executive coaching and organizational development, and found that I was spending most of my time leading successful people from their heads to their hearts. And because of my own personal experience, I got involved 37 years ago with yoga and meditation and human flourishing is what I would call it, which evolved into embodiment work, really showing up now in the present, fully alive and flourishing and authentic. And so that's basically been the focus of my work, which I'm a meanderer. So I taught at universities, I've worked in healthcare, I've worked in the corporate world, all around this passion and this purpose of creating a new world. And it led me to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the Mind and Life Institute, and Richie Davidson at the University of Wisconsin, where I went to school, and the science of contemplative practice and kindness and compassion. And when I met Charlie, who can tell you his story, we are partners, business partners, and we're a married couple. But when he came into my life, I led him to this world of all of the science around human flourishing, well-being, and contemplative practice. And how do we bring that through application, scientifically valid, scalable application to the masses? So Charlie can take over your story.
Yeah. So I'm kind of about transformation, authentic leadership, innovation, and change. I've worked in 16 different industries in my career. I'm a Harvard Business School educated person who served as, I've worked in big companies, I've worked in small companies, domestically, internationally, nonprofit, for-profit. And then as Maureen said, about 11 years ago, she introduced me to the Mind and Life Institute, where I found these partners who I now work with, who were asking the question whether the science of contemplative practice had gotten to a point where there would be anything to invest in to bring that to scale. We created the Bridge Builders Collaborative, which is this group that I work with. We were sort of the first professional investors in the space of mindfulness, digital therapeutics, behavioral health. And we have been spent the last 10 years sort of co-creating a new global industry around these concepts. We've invested in 16 startup companies, normally in sort of Series A financings. And we have, you know, watched an entire ecosystem, global movement or industry, you know, develop partly through our investment and partly because the world is ready to, you know, for these kind of solutions.
Yeah, I agree. The world is ready for more mindfulness. And that's what you are bringing in to the corporate world is mindfulness. And how is that received initially?
Initially, people looked at me and I would go into corporate offices, and because I'm Harvard Business School educated, they thought I might have some credibility, but then they also looked at me like what are you talking about? But when we started talking about the actual science behind mindfulness and how it was being brought into the Western system in kind of a new way to make it, you know, to make a user experience online that would be, you know, that would be attractive to people. And when they start seeing this sort of the healthcare productivity benefits of how people were using it, they got, you know, quite interested. And I would say in corporate America, insurance companies and healthcare today, very few companies don't have a mindfulness program or are not supporting their employees around mindfulness. So it's gone from skepticism to scale.
Right, because it's considered, it's not tangible, right? It's more of a soft skill. So you've had to add the science to actually make it concrete, show how performance has improved because of it.
Yes.
Yes, and we use the analogy as well of how the physical fitness industry was created because, you know, 40 years before this industry, there was science around physical fitness. And then people started, once the science got to a point, people started building companies to help bring physical fitness to scale. Corporations, it took a while. They bought into that. We made the analogy that mind fitness was, you know, was analogous and that it was actually part of, you know, human fitness in general to have both mental fitness, physical fitness, and, you know, nutrition, et cetera, as part of how to support employees.
Yeah, I love that analogy. It's almost like a holistic approach to it. Don't leave one piece out. And that's the most crucial piece too. And so Maureen, as an executive coach and doing more so organizational psychology, you work with tons and tons of executives. What were some of the things you saw missing, right? When you met up with them, what was the reoccurring themes that like, okay, they can use this work, this mindful work?
Yeah. So, you know, 37 years ago when I started, you know, a good way to describe it was they needed a holistic way of living. Mm-hmm. You know, back then we talked about work-life balance. We were starting to talk about wellness in terms of the physical wellness. And what I really saw was that these leaders and these organizations the executive team of these organizations had an understanding the way they'd been living their life helped them to be successful in quotes, okay? Successful financially, but they were not, you know, they were pretty miserable in many other ways. So really looking at how do you bring them back to themselves and into their hearts and into their more balanced way of living? And how do we reevaluate what is their purpose? And because at that point, they were looking for a new purpose. And so having to reevaluate what is a value to them and really having to look at their unconscious, you know, their unconscious bias, their unconscious programming, their patterns, and make some choices and some changes. And it's not easy. It's messy. And it takes courage. But one example is I worked with an entrepreneur, this was many years ago, who was very successful. And he just was ready to walk away from it all. And he was able to do it in a very discerning and deliberate way. And he went off to be, you know, a meditation teacher. He trained and then he went on to work with a lot of executives and helping redefine their life and purpose. So I think what we're seeing today, because there are so many more meditators, is that people are starting to understand that it's meditation mindfulness isn't just about focus and stress reduction and self-care. It's also, you get to a point where it's also about having an impact in the external world. And that's what I'm starting to see happen more, is that people are moving, and this is the embodiment piece, they're moving from being self-centered and using it for self-care and moving now into collective care and community.
Very nice. And for that collective approach to it is wholesome and it kind of helps everyone in large. Now, I don't imagine you are in these offices doing yoga sessions.
No.
How do you go about bringing them to the hearts? What's your method like?
Well, a lot of it has to do with, I use a lot of breath work, a lot of mindfulness techniques. I've been trained in a lot of modalities that, you know, you kind of meet the person where they are and what they need. but I'm tough. Like I only work with people who are really, at this point in my life, who are really willing and committed to transformation. So I really hold their feet to the fire because, as I said, it's messy and it's hard. And I find that, you know, when people are changing, really changing and transforming and coming back into more of an authentic sense of self, the people around them that love them the most are resistant. I mean, unconsciously, but just, you know, change is hard for the people around them. And so moving through that and being able to let go of their attachments, embrace what could emerge is a big part of my work. But that takes some tough conversations.
Yeah, to introduce it to people where it's considered taboo. There's no time for the feelings. There's no time for that.
Right.
We need numbers. We need bottom line.
Exactly.
Return on investment. So it's really a courageous move in that space. And that's what makes you guys unique. So I want to learn a little bit more about Bridge Builders. So Charlie, if you can chime in a little bit and tell us why that is unique and what makes it unique.
So I think our intention makes us unique. We have been pioneers in the space of mindfulness, digital therapeutics, which is FDA approved software to treat actual conditions. We were, you know, early in investing in behavioral health. As investors, we're solely dedicated to that space. Our goal for the first 7 years, as Maureen describes, we were investing in the gateway drugs to higher level of consciousness. We invested in several mindfulness companies. And a few years ago, when we saw that our portfolio companies had, you know, 100 million meditators that weren't meditating, you know, 10 years before, mm-hmm. Maureen said, it, you know, that it was time to go deeper. And so we have been looking at how do we invest in deeper models for behavioral health, mental health, social wellness, the psychedelics. How do we help people to transform, awaken, deal with conditioning or, you know, or trauma? So we're solely dedicated to that space. We have we operate differently than like a venture capital fund in that we are a collaborative of people who all have a shared intention and want to work together collectively to both find and then add value to investments so that we can create enterprises that will impact at scale tens of or hundreds of millions of people around the world over the next several years.
Yeah, I love the collaboration piece of it. It's a human shift, a consciousness that takes place where it like Maureen said earlier, it takes the impact into the external world where you're not just concerned about our just individual well-being, but more so our, the bigger picture, everyone included.
Exactly. I just want to add one of the other things that's unique about Bridge Builders is they do obviously invest money into these startups, but they're also very discerning about the founder and the team and how much they're doing their own personal work and evolving. And one of the greatest, I think, assets of Bridge Builders is that besides giving their money, they give a lot of time and energy to support these entrepreneurs and startups and really help them grow and shift. Charlie in particular, but all of them are all in and work really hard. And so all of their companies, what is it, 16 now over 10 years are still viable.
Wow, that's impressive. Why mindfulness? Tell us a little bit more about the science behind mindfulness.
So what we've determined over, 30 years is that by quieting the mind, which is, you know, I'm going to simplify this, but by quieting the mind, not shutting it off, just quieting it enough to have awareness and presence and be more discerning about the stories we're telling ourselves, you know, what we're putting in our bodies, you know, what are we getting triggered by? How are we reacting? What are our emotions? Like emotional intelligence, we have them, we can feel them, we can name them, we can work with them. All of that is part of mindfulness. And in doing that, the science shows that people do become more focused. They do become more relaxed, less depressed. There are physiological changes such as heart rate slowing down, blood pressure going down, sleeping better. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. And slowing down in life, like still being able to be productive, but not at this fast pace, at a much more medium speed. So the science is showing the value, not just to our physical health, but to our mental health and our emotional health and how we engage with others. And that can be huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can hear what you were talking. I can think about is concentration. You know, we're told in school to focus, right? But no one actually taught us how.
Right.
Think about it. No one else actually sat us down and taught us how to focus, how to be mindful, how to be present, how to actually take deep breaths and actually bring ourselves back to our bodies. So this work that you were doing is really phenomenal in that way. It embodies that and teaches that.
Right. And we, I mean, just a shout out to our fans and supporters. We support a lot of programs that are in schools. We're getting this into schools. Holistic Life Foundation out of Baltimore has done an amazing job and now going into other cities. But, you know, Goldie Hawn has a program that's been in the schools for some time. We are trying to get this down to, you know, kindergarten and on up so that they can have this skill from a very young age.
Great place to start. I agree 100%. So I imagine you both have a very robust mindfulness routine and perhaps a morning routine that goes along with it. So I would love to hear how you get up, dress up, and show up. What's your morning routines like?
Well, for me personally, it starts the night before when I go to bed. I'm very intentional when I go to bed and setting my intention for my sleep and for the next day and knowing what my day, you know, has ahead of me and really focused on getting a good night's sleep. And I use, there's breathwork techniques and that I use to help if I'm having trouble falling to sleep. And then in the morning when I wake up, I have my meditation or mindfulness time. Again, I do a lot of breath work. So a lot of breath work, contemplative time, and again, set my intention for the day and align myself with that intention. And then Charlie and I, he's up before me. He gets up early. We usually check in about the day since we work together and set our intention for the day together. You know, really throughout the day, keep checking in that I'm in alignment with my intention.
It starts the night before. I've heard that over and over again. You're absolutely right. Got to be intentional about what the plans are, what your day is going to be like to win it.
Yes.
Charlie?
Yeah, I have less of a like consistent routine. I do wake up earlier than Maureen typically. And morning for me is my most productive time. Mm-hmm. And because I work internationally, sometimes I will have, you know, early morning calls. But I enjoy the time that Maureen and I have together to check in. I typically use Insight Timer in the morning as a way, it's a meditation app, you know, that's one of our investments, but I've used it now, I think, you know, over 1400 days, you know, over the last several years. It's just a consistent part of my morning. And then definitely coffee is part of my morning too.
Gotta hydrate first thing in the morning. Now, I love the checking in that you guys do in the morning. I run a business with my husband as well, and I know there can be differences. How is your partnership being married? How is that has inspired and kind of fueled this fire to give back and serve in the way you do?
It's so much fun. We are so playful. It's so much fun. You know, as Charlie would describe it, I am the wisdom, he's the method, which is a Buddhist concept that the feminine or the women are the wisdom and men are the method. So I have a lot of insight. I'm much more aware and observing and what's emerging. Like I said to him a couple of years ago, we need to go deeper. And that indeed did happen. I just have this, and he listens. Mm-hmm. And then he's so good at the method and getting out there and getting it done. I don't have as much interest in that anymore. So we balance each other really well. And when he asks for my insight and I, you know, I give what I can, but I also say you have insight since there are times when he has it. And then there are times when I have to say to him, don't push so hard, slow down. And so there's that balance of it, we just complement each other so much. But what's really important is we're very playful and we don't take each other or anything too seriously. So that allows us to be in the flow more, I would say. But you say what?
No, I think that captures it all. I think, you know, the one other thing is that Maureen's wisdom is so multidimensional And then I work in like the third dimension of like, how do we get products and services out into the distribution systems on this planet so that we can, you know, create change. And I just say, the other thing I just say is like, we're playful with work. We're playful with parenting. We're playful with kind of whatever we're doing. We just, you know, we just enjoy each other. And we enjoy, it's not like we're like our life is segmented in different things. We're just on this journey together, you know, and having a great time doing it.
That's powerful. And enjoying each other's company and growing together, right? Because as you grow, your business will grow accordingly.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, that's what we see consistently. As the more people do their own work and grow, the more it's just a mystery. The more things happen that you could never even have imagined.
Yeah. You have a beautiful quote on your website, and I want your insight on it because I've heard it before. And now that I have mindfulness experts on the show, I think you might be able to help me pick the bone off the meat type of thing. This quote on your website is, "We are energetic beings in physical forms having human experiences." I've heard this before, but what does it mean?
Okay. So that's my quote. Well, I mean, that I said that for many years. And it is about embodiment. My experience personally and with working with thousands of people, and this is why Charlie said I'm multidimensional, we are energy. And, you know, quantum physics, quantum mechanics, you know, science is showing us that, right? We are energy. And we do have this physical form that is of the earth. Our bodies are of the earth. The earth supports our physical form. And we're having these energetic beings coming through this physical form. We're having a human experience. And so this is the piece of being really grounded and embodied, because we all have our brilliance and we all have our purpose. And if we bring it through our bodies, you know, I like to say, like Monet, one of my favorite artists, if he didn't have the canvas and the paintbrushes and the intention and committed the time, we would have never seen his beautiful art. It would have been in his imagination or his sense of being. And so, you know, and I know a lot of people like this who are brilliant, but they can't ground it here. So the human experience is very, very important, and to understand that's what we're having and how do we have our human flourishing in that experience. So it's not about the material world or the money or the accolades. It's about the flow and the connection and the community and the impact you're having and how you're impacted. And that's all on a human experience. And that is kind of the third dimensional world. And I really enjoy the multidimensional world. But if I didn't bring it through the body, through my human experience, I would kind of be living out in la la land. Yeah. So the other interesting piece to this, and this is happening more and more with biofield science and subtle energy, is that this is the deeper piece, that our wellness isn't just mental and emotional and physical. It is also energetic. We are impacted energetically. We impact others. You know, you can be in a really great space and you have lunch with your friend who's depressed, and you walk away from lunch and you feel depressed and you're like, why am I feeling this way? It's because energetically, you know, you kind of resonated with your friend and you have to get out of that energy and get back to that's theirs, you know, not mine. I'm in this other space. And we're seeing more and more science around this and more understanding of this. And I hope to see even more, because it's real.
Yeah. And you can see it as a psychologist, even doing the work, being in sessions with clients, you kind of absorb.
Yes.
Their energy, you absorb their work, and it's mentally exhausting. And so there has to be a channel where you actually access and get that out of your system.
Exactly.
To be healthy. So energy is where we are, a bundle of energy. We are connected to the universe, and we feel that within our bodies. Like, you can think of someone and then they call you.
Right.
Again, yeah. You know, take that to a different level, and people don't believe that. Or you could be thinking bad about somebody and that gets returned back to you. So it's scary. That's why I do loving kindness meditation, where I send out love to everyone, regardless.
That way,
the more you send out, the more you will get in return. You get what you send out, you give out, per se.
Exactly. And also that's why forgiveness is really, when you're able to forgive, it's really more for you than the other person, mm-hmm. because you let it go. And loving kindness meditation is one of my favorites. It's so powerful.
Absolutely. Man, this has been really insightful. I would love to for you to tell us, how can we connect with you? How can we find Shifted Institute? Where can we connect with you?
So you can find Shifted Institute. Our website is shifted.com. And then I'm a teacher on Insight Timer, so you can find me there. I do a lot of embodiment practices that are free. And then I have a course on conscious breathing.
And then you can find Bridge Builders Collaborative at bbcollaborative.com. And both of us are on LinkedIn as well.
Excellent. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing that. This has been insightful in looking at how we can incorporate mindfulness into corporate America, with the suit, and getting that into the world where it embodies a collectiveness instead of just individualistic mindset and an approach to healing. So I really appreciate both Charlie and Maureen for your time today.
Yeah. Thank you
for having us.
Yeah. It's my pleasure.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.